to the church. And he's been going to seminary for a while. He goes to Southeastern down in North Carolina. And he's starting to preach now at church, a little bit more so in the Chinese congregation. But Pastor Carter is out of town at Russell and Helen's wedding today. So Brother Perry is going to come and preach for us. So I'll invite him on up.
Good morning. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to share God's word with you guys. And with Carter not being here and my kids, down here hearing me, I feel a little bit pressure. This is actually the first time that I'm able to share God's word in English with you guys. So let's bow our head and pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to lift this worship to you, Lord. May every one of us be humble in front of you, that you speak to us. There's not anyone in here that is, taking the glory from you, Lord. May you be the owner of all the glory, Lord. I want to thank you for giving us this opportunity, even though it's raining outside, but our heart in here is warm, and we have brothers and sisters to come together, worship you, and again, may all the glory belong to you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Today, the topic that I'm going to be sharing with you is called Like a Good Soldier of Christ Jesus. Can anyone tell me what qualifies someone to be a good soldier? Who is a good soldier to you? Go and shout loud. Huh? What is the quality of a good soldier?
Bravery.
Okay, yes. What else?
Training.
Okay. What else?
Awesome.
Okay. Well, you haven't hit any of my keyword yet, which is okay. So I feel that a good soldier is very focused, right? They are purpose-driven. They are obedient. They obey their commanders. They know what the goal of their battle is. They are also very committed. You know, we don't quit, after the training is over. A good soldier, I'm not talking about every soldier, so a good soldier is very committed, and soldiers are unified, as well as they have a lot of sacrifice. They do a lot of sacrifice so that we can sit here today and worship our Lord safely. So we want to thank God for giving us, good soldiers, for the United States to protect us. But as we think spiritually, are we ourselves good soldiers for Christ? Are you good soldiers for Christ? Do you see our everyday living as a spiritual battle for the lost? So let's ponder about that. But thank Stuart today. One of the first songs that he led today talk about, going the route and bearing the fruit, which is the, spiritual theme for us or vision for us this year. I don't know about you, what have you done this year? What have you done differently this year to be able to going deep and bearing fruit for Christ? Have you done anything, committed yourself to doing something special this year so that you can grow deeper in Christ? I hope so. Hopefully, it's not just at the church level, but also in a personal level, because a lot of this growth happens when you are alone with God. How long have you been a Christian? Let me see some set of hands. If you have been Christian for over 10 years. All righty. For those who are 5 years and more, how about just two? Okay, we got a few. Good. So let me challenge these older people that have been a Christian for over 10 years. Are you satisfied with your Christian life? Are you satisfied with your spiritual life? When I say satisfied, I mean from a scale of 0 to 10. I'm very specific. 0 meaning your spiritual life is down the drain. 10 is very, very good. Not perfect, but very, very good. What would you rate your spiritual life, Joe?
6.
Oh, my. He is very humble, okay? That's good. Anyone want to say my spiritual life now is 9 or 10? Again, 10 is not perfect, but 9 or 10. Not too many of you, okay? Well, that's expected. I'm kind of like Joe. I'm kind of like a 6 range, 6 to 7 maybe. So when you are not satisfied with your spiritual life, you know, what have you done about it? You know, this year or last year, even though as a Christian, sometimes we don't see our, you know, spiritual life all of a sudden, you know, exploded. You know, a lot of times the growth is subtle. The growth is gradual. So when you look back, you know, for those who have been a Christian for 10 years, look back, compare yourself this year with 10 years ago. How has your spiritual life been? If you go to see the Lord one day, the Lord call you and he ask you to come to heaven, and what would you say to him? And are you going to be prepared that you'll be ready to, you know, to get to serve him even more and love him and grow and just really enjoy what he have in store for you? I believe there are 3 types of Christians. One type of Christians that I call them spiritual bamboo. You know what those are? Those are the Christian who comes to every Sunday and listen to the preacher, or come to even fellowship and being very passively growing. They just keep taking in, absorbing. Those are called spiritual obese person that are keep growing and grow and eating and don't do any work for Christ. Those are called spiritual obesity. Those people who listen and do not do any spiritual work, do not serve, do not share the gospel with people. And another type is the spiritual bamboo. Those people, probably Joe, yes, he's as tall as he is. He keeps serving and serving, giving out to every people. And yet forget that he needs nutrient as well. I'm not saying you are that case at this time. But I'm just, you know, those people who are very skinny and very tall and very thin because they keep giving out. They don't have any intake. So a balanced spiritual Christian should be someone who gain nutrients, come to enjoy fellowship with each other, study God's word, at the same time listen to the preaching, but also, more importantly, is to be able to serve our community, share God's word, as well as serving at the church. Then you have a spiritual giant. If Christ's life is in you, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, I believe eventually you're going to grow. You cannot control but grow because the life of Christ is in us. However, if your life is stagnant, that means you are kind of stuck in your, you know, last 5 years. You haven't had any, you know, spiritual changes, or you are not serving more with happy heart, with joy. You're serving with a lot of gripe or a lot of, you know, unsettled feelings, then I challenge you to think about what you're doing to suppress the work of the Holy Spirit in you, okay? When you go to heaven some days, sometimes you may encounter 3 types of people. The first type of people that, like you know, maybe I go to heaven and say, oh my goodness, I made it to heaven. And hallelujah, that's great. But the second type of people that you saw is like, oh, even he made it to heaven. But more sadly are the third kind of people, that so-and-so should be in heaven, but I didn't see him. So back in 1984, British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher nominated a spiritual giant at the time, was recognized as, his name is David Jenkins. He was nominated to be the Bishop of Durham. At the time, he was a famous theologian. He was a reputable university professor. And after his nomination, he shared about his faith. He doesn't, as a Catholic himself, he does not believe in virgin birth. He said he doesn't believe in virgin birth, and he even say about Christ's resurrections, it was just a game with bones. So having studied, having learned so much about his faith, that when he someday go to heaven, if he does not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you think that God will accept him into heaven? I doubt it. For all of us who are sitting in here, you can be here listening to sermons weeks after weeks, and you can be absorbing a lot of information into your head. But if you don't really think about what you believe and exercise them, some days in heaven, well, I hope to see you there. I'll be very thankful if I made it there. And I would love to have the surprises to see some of you, some of us that may not think that we should be there, but was there. But I don't want to see anyone who I expect, and I hope, I pray that you will be there, and you will not. So it all depends on how you spend your time, how you spend your resources as a Christian. Today, if I ask you again, are you a good soldier for Christ Jesus? What would you say? The quality that I share with you about focus, about commitment, about sacrifice, about serving others, are you one of those people who do that? Not just learning and accepting and growing in your head knowledge, but also from your heart, that the Spirit of God live in you, that you can serve and you can love to share the gospel with your friends and families. So let's read some Bible with me, if you will. Here's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. Let's read together. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with Christ's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple of the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Why do we need to build each other up? Why can we not just mind our own business, grow by ourselves? God, in fact, teach us when you pray, you should go to a quiet place and pray by yourself. But why do we need to grow together as a church? Why do we need to build each other up? Well, the first thing I remember come to my mind is the Great Commission, right? When Christ, before he rises to heaven, he told his disciples, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. So that is first and foremost, because Christ told us so. Christ told us that we should go out and make disciples of not our own, but make disciples of Christ. How often do you guys hear, maybe each other or some people, some Christian that have been a Christian for a long time say, oh, I feel so bad, I have been a Christian for so long now, and yet I don't know about this verse. Or yet, this is the first time I hear about this. Why? Why do you think they say that? Is that because they are lazy? That they don't want to take the time to learn about what they believe? Or is it because when they first become Christian, they don't have anyone who helped them to grow. As a more mature Christian, those who have, you know, the faith for a while, do you or do I have the responsibility to help some of the younger Christians grow? The word in there is a Greek word, okidomein. It means to build. Literally, it's building a house. So if you look at the next picture, I know we have someone who is visiting us from Virginia Beach at the Chinese congregation. If that house over there is a house that one of your friends or family is trying to build, you know, they just started, but they're trying to build that house on those sand. You know, what would you do? What would you do? Would you not say anything to them and just let them build? Let them continue? Or would you kind of like pray for them and take the courage to share with them that the foundation there might be a little shaky? This is exactly what Jesus has painted the picture in, you know, in one of the Gospels, chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. You know, these are the two type of foundations. When you see your friends and family who build that house there, I would, you know, even though it may hurt that person's feelings, but I would take the courage to share with them. Because what? We are one family. We are God's family. So if you see your neighbors, if you see your brother and sister in the church or somewhere you know that does not come to church on Sunday, does not join fellowship, does not read the Bible, does not pray, would you just let them continue that way? Or would you care enough to share with them what God has burdened you? I challenge you to do that. I know, you know, Chinese, especially in our culture, are usually very shy and very private. We don't like to, you know, point to other people what they are not doing right, especially spiritually. How often do you see each other and have asked each other, say, hey, Michael, how's your spiritual life lately? Do we do that? Very often we don't, right? Very seldom we do not. We do that. So, however, the Bible reminds us, you know, we should not just care for our own business, but also care for those of others, which is in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, we should not looking to our own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. To the interests of others is not just, you know, our everyday life, you know, all our jobs, our work, our personal life, but also our spiritual life. And that is even more important than caring for the physical need of your neighbors. The next verses we're going to read is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 to 4. Let me invite the ladies to read for me. 1, 2, 3, go. Wow, that's not very unison. Gentlemen, let's try that. Let's show them how to do this in more unison way, okay? You ready? 1, 2, 3. You then. Does it sound like a good soldier to you? It's okay. It just proved to a point that we have not practiced before, right? This is a random thing. We just do it now. We are not very innocent because we have not been trained. Okay, that Joe was saying before. You know, good soldiers are not born. We are all trained. So we need to help each other to train up so that we can be more unified to fight the spiritual battle for God. In this verse, I especially like what Paul was saying, that he said, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say," me, who is me? That is Paul, right? Heard Paul said, "in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable people." So what Paul did is he shared what he has learn from Christ with these reliable people so that these qualified people can then go and teach others. So it is our responsibility as Christians that we should not just absorb and gain all these knowledge and the experience that we gain from the Lord, you know, from all the grace, all the love that we receive from the Lord, and not share that with other people. We should learn from Paul. Each one of us should have a spiritual figure, kind of like Paul, who is a little bit mature. And then we should ourselves be those entrusted people that we can teach others. Who are the others? Perhaps these are the little Timothy. That one is not little anymore. But a little Timothy that we can share with, you know, them to teach them what God has done in our lives, that we can share these good news with others. We should help each other because we are the good soldiers of Christ. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 19, Jesus reminded us, if we do not grow, what are the consequences? We are going to be like the tree, the vine being chopped down, being chopped down. So you don't want to see yourself being chopped down, nor do you want to see your neighbors being chopped down. We need to grow together because we are one family, because we're one family in Christ. We not just want to obey the commandments, but we want to carry it forth and to see our brothers and sisters all together, grow together, serve together. With one person, the force or the power is very limited, you know. But if you know, some days when you are walking in this path to heaven, you know, every one of us are human being. We all fall short. Sometimes I am very weak. I need your prayers. Sometimes you could need a little bit of our help. But if we are walking the path to heaven alone, a lot of times it's easy for us to go astray or falling behind or even feel lazy and not keep going. But if we have brothers and sisters who are next to us, have a spiritual Paul and a little Timothy that we can hold hand in hand and walk in the path to heaven, I feel we can have more chance of making it there. How do we build each other up? How do we build each other up? So let me read this, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, 13. "So Christ himself gave the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, teachers, to equip his people to work of services, and so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." So God's standard is very high. He expects all of us to grow to the fullness of Christ. He doesn't only ask us, One day you just accepted him as your Lord and Savior, and that's enough. He wants all of us to really enjoy the fullness of life, which is let the Holy Spirit live in our lives and do and obey whatever the Holy Spirit wants us to do. We need to build up not just ourselves, but the body of Christ, which is the church. The church is the body of Christ. We can grow individually with your devotional life, daily devotional life, and your prayers and your quiet time. You know, but sometimes those times is very easy that you take a couple days off, and the next thing you know is you're lagging behind. But if you have a spiritual counterpart, you know, that can be with you and help you to grow along, the possibility of having a more stronger and steadier growth is more likely. So as a church, do you just come to Sunday worship, or do you join some kind of small groups or fellowships? If you do not, I strongly urge you to do that, because that's where you can have built a good brotherly and sisterly relationship with Christ together. Now, I know this summer, when the college kids were here, I know they started some women's group and some men's Bible study groups. And I see many of you have, the young kids has joined, which is very encouraging. It's very good. If you do not, you know, please see one of the leaders try to join them. Because, you know, having studied the Bible together versus you studying by yourself, sometimes it's very different. The church, the Chinese congregation, also started a new program called MD Program. And I think you have heard me say this before. MD stands for Micro Discipleship. So I know one-on-one discipleship is great, but sometimes it may be a little challenging because you know, you don't feel like sharing with some intimate, you know, things with others. But if you have two or three, sometimes, you know, make it a little easier. So that's why we say micro instead of one-on-one discipleship. And you know, we just started this, and praise the Lord, the Chinese congregation have 25 people or 26 people who signed up, who want to grow together in Christ that way. You know, for your English congregation, you can also join this men and women's Bible study together. And even though it's not a small group, but it has a few people, but it's also one way that we can all grow together and not be alone. One thing that, however, I want to caution all of us is that when we are sharing our personal experience with God, our walk with God every day, you know, please remember that Christ is where we want to lead people to. Again, we are not building disciple for ourselves. We are building disciple of Christ. So when you are sharing your biblical insight or, you know, how God works in your life, make sure that you bring people to Christ and not bring people to yourself. We know that evangelical meetings sometimes can be very successful. Billy Graham, you know, who just passed away the beginning of this year, has led thousands and millions to Christ. However, one-on-one discipleship or micro-discipleship can be also very effective. If we look at this chart, for example, you know, in a 16-year span, if during an evangelical meeting you were able to share the gospel and bring 365 people to Christ in 1 year, every year you bring 360 people to Christ, versus a discipler who only bring one person to Christ on year one, and then two people, including yourself, there's two people. And then each one of those people who have gained the excitement and influence with Christ's life in ourselves, be able to pass that fire on to the next person. And then those two go to share the gospel with two other people. So the following year, there will be four people. And so on and so forth. After 16 years, you see what the difference is? How many people has come to know God? And on the right-hand side, where the disciples are, in terms of sharing Christ with others, it's not just, you know, sharing the superficial or the basic things, but actually sharing the deep spiritual root with your brothers and sisters. So those 65,000 people are the ones who are ready and equipped to be the soldiers for Christ. The one on the left-hand side, the 5,800 people that have heard the gospel maybe for the first time, and if they don't grow, many times this 5,800 people will dwindle away or fall away. So the power of multiplication, you know, the power of discipleship is that deep one-on-one or one-on-two relationship that we can all grow and be able to share the excitement of our faith with other people. So I'm not going to, you know, go into the details of the micro-discipleship that I share at the Chinese congregation. But what we look for, you know, the key to having these disciples are, we call them the FAT people, F-A-T. FAT stand for faithful, available, and teachable. Okay? As long as, you know, all of the Christian, whoever want to join these discipleship program, as long as you are faithful to God's word, you truly trust that God has the power to change all of us. And we can be teachable, meaning that we are humble. We can, you know, we don't want to say that we know it all, even though we may have been Christian for decades. But there is so little that we know about God, there's so little we know about the Bible, that we are willing to humble ourselves, to learn and grow with one of the young people. Sometimes you share some of your experience that I don't have, and it can be very encouraging to us. So if we can be faithful and be teachable, but also you have to be available. So you might be, you have another project that you're working on. This may not be the right time that you can join a small group discipleship. It's okay. Pray about it. Pray for other people someday that God will work in your heart, that you are willing to share what have God done with you, that you are able, willing to share with other people. Becoming an MD, as Michael is, I'm sure, you know, is very hard, take a lot of hard work. To be successful in the micro-discipleship program also take a lot of hard work. Unlike evangelism, that people are converted just that one day or maybe a few months leading to that, people working with these people. But to help someone to grow deep root in Christ take years. So this micro-discipleship, this discipleship program is not just a quick 3 months fix. Sometimes it takes a lifetime to have built that strong relationship with your brothers and sisters. Are you willing to invest your time and your resources with other people? Are you willing to be focused, to be obedient, to be committed, to unify with other people, and willing to sacrifice your time and resources to invest in what you cannot lose, which is the lifelong relationship with Christ, the deep and sweet relationship with Christ. That's all I have to share. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to lift up all these brothers and sisters and those who have yet to know you in front of you, Lord. Help them to grow deep in you, Lord. If they come to church on Sundays and even come to fellowship and really do not know you, Lord. Someday when we all go to heaven, Lord, you may not recognize us, and you may even not let us into your door, Lord. Help us to just really not waste our time on earth. While it's light, let us use our resources and our time to invest in you and in getting to know you. And in the meantime also, Lord, give us the courage, the commitment, and the willing to sacrifice for other people, because we are one family in Christ Jesus, that we can help each other to grow deeper in you so that we can bear the spiritual fruit that is naturally going to come. Father, I want to give all the glory to you. May your heart be pleased. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.